Let's stand together. I want you to turn your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter number 4. And I want to thank you for coming this morning. I pray that you have had a blessed week. We had a big crowd here last week, and it looks like a lot of them are missing. I told somebody I should have wished them Happy Thanksgiving, Merry Christmas, and Happy New Year, because I probably wouldn't see them until next Easter again. But we're glad that you are here, and we're glad that the Spirit of God is with us today. Nehemiah chapter number 4, we have been in a study entitled Arise and Build. We're working our way through the memoirs of this great man of God by the name of Nehemiah. It's interesting, when you study Nehemiah, you'll find that Nehemiah is never quoted within the New Testament, but he still stands with the great giants of faith all throughout the Bible as one of the greatest leaders that the people of God ever came encounter with. And basically what's taking place is Nehemiah, God has laid it upon his heart to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. The walls of Jerusalem, the city, had been burned with fire. There's no gates there. This has been a process of many, many years. And Nehemiah hears about how the gates are not established. The walls are not finished being rebuilt. God lays it upon his heart to arise and go build that city. And the application we have for us today is that God has called us to be modern day Nehemiahs. To rise and build our church, our community, our families, our faith, to rise and build what God has laid upon our heart. And I pray that you're doing that. I pray that the journey's going well for you. And basically, if you're on this journey and you're leading in this journey, Nehemiah is definitely a book that every church and every church leader ought to study. And today we find ourselves in chapter number 4, and we're going to call Nehemiah a builder of broken dreams. He is an individual that's picking up the broken pieces of the nation of Israel and Jerusalem, and he is a builder of broken dreams. And we find him in chapter number 4 and chapter number 5 and chapter number 6 facing all sorts of opposition. And chapter 4 verse 1 begins like this: Sanballat heard that we built the wall, and he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heap of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him and said, even that which they build of a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Verse 4, Nehemiah begins to pray. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. Verse 6 is probably one of my favorite verses throughout the entire book. Verse number 6, so built we the wall. I think you could put a period right there. So built we the wall. Nehemiah is so determined to do what God has called him to do. In spite of all the opposition, he says, so built we the wall. And all the wall was joined together under the half, for the people had a mind to work. Isn't that a wonderful verse? I'm praying that God will help us to build the walls of faith and family and community, and that all the people of God will have a mind to work. If you have that mind, say amen. I want you to be seated. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. And I'm going to grab my glasses because I'm blind and bald and can't see. Blind and bald. Two things bad to have. Amen. All God's people said amen. Let's go ahead and pray together. Father, we are so thankful, God, for another opportunity to come into your house to hear the word of God and to fellowship with the saints of God. And Father, I'm so thankful, Lord, that you've allowed us to come into this place to hear the word of God once again and fellowship, Lord, with the people of God in such a way that brings strength and comfort to our hearts. And perhaps there's somebody here this morning, God, they are in the role of leadership or ministry. Or perhaps, Lord, it's a dad, a husband here this morning. Or perhaps a mom who's struggling within the home. I pray that you would help us to learn to be builders of broken dreams. That you would give us people of God within this church, Lord, to arise and begin to build the lives of men and women who are wrecked by all sorts of things that are happening in this world. I pray that you provide for us today. Give us a great day today in the Lord, and we will thank you for it, and all God's people can say, amen. Now, after this lady awoke, she told her husband one day, she said, honey, she said, I dreamed a dream last night that you bought me a beautiful pearl necklace for Valentine's Day. What do you think the dream means? He said, I guarantee, honey, you'll know tonight. He come home that afternoon after work, and he had brought in a beautiful package. It had ribbons and bows all over it. Linen looked all nice, and he handed that to his wife. And boy, you could just imagine the anticipation in her eyes when she began to open up that present, all only to find out that he had bought her a book entitled The Meaning of Dreams. Oh, my goodness. You know, some people can build dreams, and some people have a way of tearing down dreams. I've met people who have come into my life that have built the dreams that God has placed in my heart and my life, but there's also been some people in my path that have seems like that they wanted to tear down the dream that God has placed within my heart. And perhaps you are one of those individuals. Perhaps you are a builder of dreams, or perhaps you've been in the process of tearing down the dreams of your family. Maybe the dreams of your ministry. Maybe you become the biggest obstacle. For the people of God, they needed somebody that God would build and God would use to build their broken dreams. Basically, for 100 years, the Jews had grown accustomed to broken down dreams. The Bible teaches you and I that their city had been ruined by war. And they had basically chosen the comfort of mediocrity rather than brave the task of rebuilding. They're comfortable where they're at, but they have no security, and their enemy can attack them at any moment. However, for the people of God, everything is beginning to change. God is going to use a man who's going to arrive and begin to rebuild and have supplies for a mission of faith. This individual has counted the cost, he has prayed about it, and he knows exactly what he has to do, and he knows exactly what to expect. His name is Nehemiah. You and I can call him a builder of broken dreams. Nehemiah is a great man of God. Nehemiah, knowing that dreams best happens when your eyes are wide open, begins to lead the people of God in such a way that they take an impossible task and they begin to rebuild this wall and rebuild this city in a miraculous way in a very short period of time. I'm here to tell you, friend, I believe that God is looking for some modern day Nehemiahs today. Can you say amen? I believe that the Lord is looking for some men and some women who will rise and begin to build their faith, their family, and this community and this church. Nehemiah shows you and I that when we are in the middle of building, opposition is going to come. As a matter of fact, chapter number 4, the wall is now halfway built, but the people are getting very tired. They've been working diligently, and they are discouraged, and they're getting extremely worn out. As a matter of fact, when you read the text in chapter 4, chapter 5, and chapter 6, you're going to find that the enemy brings mockery, conspiracy, extortion, compromise, and even treachery. The enemy will use to try to get the people off the wall and stop them from doing what God wants them to do. But Nehemiah is not going to be distracted. And I'm encouraging you today that no matter what happens in your ministry and in your life, don't be distracted by what the enemy throws your way. The enemy will use everything he can to get you detoured off doing what God has called you to do. He may use money, he may use fame, he may use all sorts of avenues to try to get you off the wall and stop the work, but don't you be distracted. Nehemiah was a man of God that wasn't distracted. You know why? He was a visionary. Nehemiah could see things that nobody else could see. As everybody else was out there and they're looking at the wall and the rubbish and all the task that's before them, Nehemiah is not looking at the rubbish. Nehemiah is not looking at the burned gates. Nehemiah is not looking at the discouragement. Nehemiah is a visionary. God had gave him the ability to see beyond the immediate. And I'm praying that God will give us the ability to see beyond the immediate. I've told you before, and I'll say it again. I can envision a beautiful family life center right out back here. I can envision it, what it could be for our young people. I told Brother Kyle a few weeks ago, I said, Kyle, the only thing holding you back in your ministry is our facilities is too small. I believe if we had a bigger facility where he could exercise his ministry more, he would grow from 100 to 200, meeting the masses of the teenagers in this community. And I believe we ought to do that for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe it, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Let me hear you today. Amen. Amen. I envision all sorts of things, and I'm praying that God will give us some individuals that will look beyond the immediate and see what God can do in the future. That was Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a man who envisioned faith instead of failure. Nehemiah was a man that envisioned God instead of the government that was around him. Nehemiah was a man that had envisioned the blessings of God instead of the burdens and the task. Nehemiah was an individual that seen the finality and not the failure. God had made him a visionary, and Nehemiah understood that if you don't climb the mountain, you can't see the view. And God is asking you and I to climb the mountain of faith and see the view. Let's look over the fence with God. For too long we've stood and we stare at the fence. We stare at the immediate and all the obstacles that's in front of us. Nehemiah knew, I've got to climb the mountain with God. And if I can climb the mountain with God, I can see over the fences of life. I can see over the barriers of life. And I can literally see what God has placed within my grasp as the blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm asking you to climb the mountain. I'm asking you to be prepared to climb the mountain to see the very blessings of Almighty God. If you're going to be a builder of broken dreams, if you're going to be a man or a lady that can pick up the pieces, or if this church is going to be a church that will pick up the pieces of broken lives, then we have got to learn to use our faith to overcome the obstacles and overcome the immediate. That's the lesson of chapter number 4. In spite of the opposition, in spite of what's going on, we use our faith to overcome, and we honor God by everything that we do. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. The question that arises out of the text is this: how do we become builders of broken dreams in our generation? How do we use our family and our faith, our ministry, our marriage? How do we use these things to become builders of broken dreams? How can I help people like Nehemiah helped the people of his day? Well, I want to give you three actions of a builder of broken dreams, and I hope that you write them down. Number one, here's the first action: the response of a builder of broken dreams. When you read the text, you find that Nehemiah responded very quickly to the task. In chapter 4 and verse number 1, we read where Sanballat heard that we built the wall, and he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. Already opposition is setting up against Nehemiah. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, "What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Do they really think they're going to strengthen this city? Will they sacrifice? You mean to tell me they're going to get in here and worship God in all this mess? Will they make an end of the day? Will they revive the stones out of the heap of rubbish?" And can I tell you, what's happening in our day is our enemy and those that are laughing at the world today, they're looking at the broken pieces of our foundation of Christianity. Basically, the moral fiber of this nation, the very religious fiber that ran through this nation and made it strong, it's been broken down, hasn't it? And the world looks at us and says, "Really? Can you really think you're going to revive those spiritual stones once again? You really think we're going to put God in the forefront once again?" Atheism says no. Evolution says no. Scientific intellectualism says no. But I'm here to tell you, by the grace of Almighty God and the power of the Spirit of God working in the life of the church, we can literally pick up the broken stones that are there in America and in our community and rebuild a spiritual wall once again. If you believe it, say amen. Nehemiah is up against this opposition, and already he begins to respond. Less than a week after Nehemiah sailed into town, the winds of adversity already begin to blow. There's a big battle raging for Nehemiah, and a great conflict is about to begin, and Nehemiah is ready for the task. Can I tell you this? It don't matter what you try to do for God, you're going to find out very quickly. When you begin doing something for the Lord, the winds of adversity are going to blow. As a matter of fact, we need to remember, any time heaven advances, hell opposes. Anytime we advance for the cause of Christ, hell is going to oppose us. Anytime we try to move forward, anytime we try to advance the cause of Christ, bad things are going to happen. You know what? I had a person tell me this week, and I shared a little pastoral wisdom with them, and I tell my deacons this all the time when we talk about this. You know, a guy on a tightrope, he doesn't think about falling, does he? He's not concentrating about falling. You know what he's thinking about? He's thinking about walking. He's thinking about walking. The other day, I was with Brother Clyde Painter out in Ringo, and we were out there for a meeting for the National Day of Prayer, and across the road, this squirrel began running all the way across this little wire. And we stood out there and watched that little dude run from here to there, and he just kind of boogied on through there without even a thought about it. And I told Clyde, I said, Clyde, you know that little squirrel there? That squirrel's not thinking about falling. That squirrel is thinking about walking. And here's the problem in our churches. You know, God begins to bless. We have people coming, there's money in the bank, we build a brand new building, and the blessings of God come our way, and all of a sudden somebody says, oh, wait a minute, you know, we better watch out. The devil could wreck everything, and the devil could come in and try to ruin everything. Yeah, the devil might, but here's what I'm asking you to do. Don't think about falling, think about walking. Think about, where does God want us to be in 5 years from now? Where does God want us to be in 10 years from now? Don't worry about what the devil could do. Start concentrating on what God can do. Can you say amen? The winds of adversity were already blowing in. Nehemiah knows that when heaven advances, hell is going to oppose. Anytime somebody desires to see God glorified, they are bound to feel the frigid winds of adversity blowing against their life. You and I will not be exempt from that type of atmosphere, no matter what we do for God, because the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. When I read chapter 4, 5, and 6, I find that nowhere else in the entire Word of God is Satan's methods and schemes on display. You can read the Word of God in its entirety, and you will find in these next three chapters that Satan literally unloads on Nehemiah. And what's interesting is Satan's name is never mentioned in the text. You never find one time that Nehemiah is worried about Lucifer. He never is worried about Satan at all. His name's not even mentioned. But everywhere you look, you can see the shadow of Satan cast on every single page. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't want you to be fooled this morning to think that the devil's nowhere in sight. He's kicking at the door. Can you say amen? Don't you think that everything's going to be, you know, just hunky-dory and everything's going to be all right, that the devil's not going to try to come in and destroy your marriage, that the devil won't try to come and destroy your ministry? He is there, but the Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We are more than overcomers through the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what the devil can do. You and I stand victorious because of the majesty of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We got the authority of his name. We are an army mighty with banners, and we're marching on. Can you say amen? That's good preaching, Brother David. Can you say amen? The Bible tells you and I here that Nehemiah has this response. What is his response? He begins to respond to God in a great way. I want you to notice this. Satan pulls out his biggest scheme on Nehemiah, and that's the scheme of ridicule. Poor Nehemiah begins to be ridiculed on every side. And there are three responses of Nehemiah that I want you to notice. Number one, the response to persecution. Verses 1 to verse 3, we've already read that there's persecution. Verse 7 and verse number 8, the Bible says, but it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Amorite, or the Arabians and the Amorites and the Ashdodites, heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them to come together and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder us. Nehemiah's response to persecution. Can I tell you this? If you're going to be criticized, be criticized for the right thing and not the wrong thing. Amen? Let's be criticized for the right thing. Let's be criticized for standing upon the truth. Let's be criticized for standing upon what is right. Not our opinion, not our conjecture, but upon the truth of the Word of God. Nehemiah is being criticized, and you're going to find out, no matter what you do for God, you're going to be criticized. It was Alan Redpath that was quoted in Donald Campbell's book on Nehemiah, entitled Nehemiah, A Man in Charge. And listen to what he says. He says, the world judges everything by size, by headlines, by imposing plans, by vast advertisement, and it pours contempt upon the feeble little flock of the people of God. You with your feeble prayer meetings, you with your silly little plan of gathering people to convert one by one, how can you possibly stand alongside our great economic programs in which a whole world can be revolutionized in a few years? You have no intellect. You are out of date. You have no money. You have no status. You feeble little lot. Basically, that is the attitude of the world, and that is the attitude that Nehemiah is facing. He is facing a group of men that says, you have no intellect. You are out of date. You have no money. You have no status. Why, nobody is going to be able to build this feeble little wall. Nehemiah, what are you doing? Can I remind you again? The enemy may oppose us, but friend, when heaven advances, you listen, you may be facing the Goliaths in your life, and you may be small in stature, but when you're standing with Jesus, you're 10 foot tall. Can you say amen? We are more than overcomers, and God is going to use Nehemiah in a great and mighty way. Now understand, none of this caught God off by surprise. You may be thinking, wow, I bet God was really surprised by the hindrance that was going on. No. As a matter of fact, your trials sometimes are allowed by God. God allows trials to come our way. God allows circumstances to affect us in order to drive us to our knees sometimes, to cause us to look up. Somebody said it well, the Christians are like a tea bag. Their full strength is not drawn out until they get into hot water. And that is so true. That is so true. Sometimes God allows persecution and God allows trouble and trial to come our way in order to fortify us, in order to strengthen us, in order to give us what we need, to cause us to look on the inside of ourselves and to look to the Word of God. This is what's going on in Nehemiah. Nehemiah knows that he is to build that wall. He knows that that's what God has called him to do. And he is in the midst of all sorts of opposition, and now he begins to pray to God in a great and mighty way. Listen, friend, when you are faced with opposition and you are faced with troubles and trials, the greatest response that you can give to persecution is to get on your knees and to begin to pray. Can you say amen? That's Nehemiah's response in verse 4, 5, 19, and verse number 14. The response to prayer. The Bible says in verse 14, remember the Lord. Nehemiah begins to pray, and he tells the people to remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. Now, I don't want you to miss this, all right? Look at verse 14. The Bible says, and I looked and rose and said to the nobles and to the rulers and the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. The Bible says in verse 4, hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn the reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. Nehemiah begins to pray. In the midst of persecution, he responds not only to persecution, but he responds in prayer. And I don't want you to miss this. You know, we have a little saying in our day where we say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words or names will never hurt me. And that is so untrue. Because words do hurt. And you may be here this morning and you have been wounded by somebody's words. As a matter of fact, words can cause deep internal wounds. Words have a way of affecting us not only mentally, but also physically and spiritually. We may say, oh, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. And we try to put on the facade of being macho and strong, but words do hurt. As a matter of fact, words have meaning. And you know what? People can either use words to influence their family to do what's right, or they can use words to influence their family to do wrong and to tear them down. Nehemiah begins to pray, and Nehemiah asks God, God, I'm calling upon you, and I'm asking you to help me. He says, Lord, I'm hurting here. God, as I'm praying to you, my heart is broken. And Nehemiah basically is praying. He says, are you listening, Lord? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Nehemiah is in pain as he begins to pray. And you may be that person this morning. You may be praying, Lord, do you hear me? God, do you understand what's going on? God, I need your help. God, I need strength. God, I need encouragement. Somebody's come along your way and they have torn you down. They've tore your dream down. They tore your life down. You're miserable on the inside. And you're here today wounded and hurting because somebody's words have hurt you. Can I tell you, friend, no matter how many words may hurt you, God has a salve for you, and it's the Holy Spirit of God that will bring healing to your heart. God's word is like a medicine. God's word brings healing. And Nehemiah begins to look to the word of God. He begins to look to prayer and faith. And he begins to pray, God, are you listening? God, do you hear what I'm saying? And although Nehemiah is not surprised by the words of his enemy, it still hurt him. And he begins to pray to God. Can I tell you, the best thing for you to do this morning is to take your pain to God. The best thing for you to do is to take your wound to God. Bring it to him. I'm not asking you to bring it to a counselor. I'm asking you to bring it to God. I'm not asking you to bring it as a form of gossip. I'm asking you to bring it to God. That's exactly what Nehemiah done. He's wounded on the inside. Somebody's hurt him with those words. And he begins to pray, and that is his response. As a result of the response to the persecution and his response in prayer, it brought about a response to progress. Verse 6. So built we the wall. That's what we done. And the Bible says, for the people had a mind to work. You know, I posted on Twitter yesterday that King Saul thought Goliath was too big to fight, but David thought he was too big to miss. And that is being determined. Amen? David said, oh, he's not too big to fight. He's too big to miss. David went out there and said, is there not a cause? David went out and met Goliath, and he realized that God was on his side. When the Goliaths of your life come crawling up the mountain of God to take you off the task, what God's called you to do, don't be afraid of the giant. He's too big to miss. You aim for God. You aim for his glory, and God will take care of you every single time. Can you say amen? The Bible tells you and I that Nehemiah began to pray, and as a result of his prayer, there's progress. And the people had a mind to work. They were willing to grab a hold of the task and move forward. The second action of a builder of broken dreams is not only the response, but also the recognition. Any good leader needs to see what's going on around him. And Nehemiah is no fool. He recognizes that sometimes we, people, can be our worst own enemies. The people are out there working, and now they're halfway done. And emotions begin to be stirred. And sometimes our emotions can take a great toll on us and make us tired in the work. And Nehemiah notices that. As a leader, as a man of God, Nehemiah realizes if I'm going to build their dreams, I have got to recognize their weaknesses. And I'm talking to our leaders here this morning. And I'm talking to the men of this church. If you're going to build the broken dreams of your family and this ministry, you've got to recognize the weaknesses around you. And you've got to ask God to help you to resolve those issues and to bring strength where there is weakness, to bring comfort where there's discouragement. You have got to recognize the situation around you. For too long, we've lived with blinders. For too long, we've turned our cheek the other way. For too long, we've not noticed what's happening. And as a result, there's a spiritual blindness in America. There's a spiritual apathy among us. It's because we, as the people of God, us men who are leaders and us teachers and preachers and people who are leaders, we've got to recognize what's going on around us. Can you say amen? You can't be blind to what's happening in the news. You can't be blind to what's going on within our government. God has required you as a child of God to pray for this country. Can you say amen? And not only the country, but for the entire world. And Nehemiah, as a leader, he begins to recognize what's going on around him. And in verse number 10, he notices that fatigue is finally setting in. Look at verse 10. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. They're halfway finished and fatigue is finally catching up with them. Can I tell you, when energy runs short, so does courage. When we become fatigued and stressed out, It seems like our courage just fades away. The people of God are on the wall. The work is halfway done. And the devil's doing everything he can to try to get them off the wall. And fatigue sets in, and now their courage is gone. It seems like when we become squeezed by time, pressure, and exertion, that's exactly when the devil takes us and puts a circle around us, and we become the bullseye of the enemy. I'm here to tell you, notice the fatigue. I think it's very, very dangerous, and I was telling Brother Roy this week that I think it's dangerous when we as a church, we become busy for busy sake. And I think we've got to watch. We've got to be a good steward of our time. We've got to be a good steward of what God has given us. Why? Because fatigue is a tool of the enemy, and he will use it to stress you out, to wear you down, to where you give up on your courage in going forward for God. Nehemiah recognizes that the burden bearers, out of everybody that he needs those burden bearers. We need burden bearers in the house of God. Can you say amen? And the burden bearers, they're even fatigued out, and their strength is gone, and their courage is dissipating. He realizes that and recognizes it. Verse number 10, he realizes not only fatigue, but frustration. Look at verse number 10. It says, and there is much rubbish. The mountains of rubble were weighing down on the people. They said, man, this is way too much for us. There's much rubbish. Every day they're going out there. You've got to picture this. Here's the walls broken down. The gates are burned with fire. They don't have cranes and backhoes and all this like we have. They're out there with their bare hands, and they're moving dirt and piles, and they're doing all that they can to build this massive structure. And they said, there's too much rubbish. Not only fatigue, but frustrations they're getting in. And they're all frustrated. They're ready to give up on the task. You know, I was thinking about this week. You can live your life one of four ways. Number one, you can live out. You can wear out, burn out, or rust out. I want to live out for God. Can you say amen? I want to live my life out for God. I don't want to wear out. I don't want to burn out. And I definitely don't want to rust out. But the people of God here, they are burning out. This says it's too hard for us. It's too much for us. There's too many things. The workers only seen the bricks, but Nehemiah's seen a wall. The workers, they only seen rubbish, but Nehemiah's seen a shining city. What I'm asking you to do, get your eyes off the task and get your eyes on the Savior. Quit looking at the rubbish and look to the Savior. Where everybody else sees a brick, you see a wall. Where everybody else sees rubbish, you see a great city of God bringing an anthem of praise unto Him. Can you say amen? I remember many years ago, there were some people that said that Parkway Baptist Temple would never make it. We would never do what God's called us to do. I'm here to tell you, friend, when you can keep your eyes on God and you keep your faith, giving it to the glory of God, and you get your eyes off yourself and you get your eyes off the world and you get your eyes off the problem and you get your eyes on the Savior, there is no telling what God can do when we move mountains of faith and grab a hold of the hand of Almighty God. Can you say amen? God will bless and God will help. Fatigue set in, frustration set in, and even failure setting in. Look at verse number 10. The Bible says, so that we were not able to build the wall. Fatigue and frustration is a great recipe for failure. Nehemiah sees all of this. He sees the fatigue, he sees the frustration, he sees the failure, and then he notices the fear that's creeping into their heart. Look at verse 11. And our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews was dwelt by them came and said unto them 10 times, for all places whence ye return unto us, they will be upon you. Basically, he is saying, you're not going to make it. The adversary was coming each and every day, and the criticism was becoming toxic. The negative words were derailing the very work of God. And can I tell you, friend, that criticism in the house of God becomes toxic. It's a killer to a ministry. It kills dreams. It kills God-given desires. And all of a sudden, criticism began running through the camp, and everybody began latching onto fear. They began thinking, well, maybe the critics is right. Maybe we're doing the wrong thing. Maybe this is wrong. And Nehemiah is a builder of broken dreams. Catch this now. He is responding to the progress. He's responding to prayer. He's responding to the persecution. But Nehemiah is a guy that recognizes what's going on. He literally sees what's happening around him. We cannot live our lives with blinders. We have to see what's happening among our people and among our nation. Only when we see what's happening, then we can really begin to build the broken dreams. And that's where we find the third point. Not only the recognition of the builder of broken dreams, not only the response, but also the resolve. What is the resolve of a builder of broken dreams? Nehemiah sees all the negativity. He senses the fear. He sees the failure, the frustration, and the fatigue. He understands the persecution and the progress. He's went to God in prayer, but there's a resolve in his heart. Nehemiah has to do something about this. Now, I want you to write these down. I think they're going to help you. He said, Brother David, what should be my resolve when fatigue and failure and frustration and all this sets into my home, in my ministry, in our church, in our community? What should be our resolve to be a builder of broken dreams? Number one, you cry out to God. Number one, you cry out to God. The Bible tells you and I in chapter 4, verses 4, 5, 9, and 14, Nehemiah begins to pray and he calls out to God. It was St. Augustine that said, pray as though everything depends on God and work as though everything depends on us. And that's exactly where Nehemiah was at. Nehemiah was calling out to God. That was his resolve. Not only did he cry out to God, but secondly, he continued the work. Chapter 4, verse number 6, so built we the wall. When you compare that with chapter number 6, rather, verses 2 and verse 3, the Bible says that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do mischief. Verse number 3, and I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? They wanted Nehemiah to come to the land of Ono, and Nehemiah said, oh no, I'm not coming, amen. I'm not coming off the wall. I'm staying right here, and I'm going to continue in the work. Basically, a modern translation of chapter 6, verse 3 is because he said, please accept my regrets, but God's agenda outweighs yours right now. Can you say amen? God's agenda outweighs the devil's. God's agenda outweighs the world. Nehemiah said, I'm not coming off the wall. I am going to continue the work. Second of all, not only crying out to God and continue the work, but he concentrated on the big picture. And he, in chapter 4 and verses 13 to verse number 14, he begins building and concentrates on the big picture. And you can see the rest of them that's up there. He claimed the encouragement of God's promise, and he carried somebody else's burden. It's very interesting that Nehemiah goes out to his brethren and he tells all of them, listen, not only are you fighting for yourselves, but you're fighting for your family. He tells them in verse number 14, be not afraid of them, remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. Listen, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. Nehemiah said, you're not only doing this for yourself, you're doing this for your family. And can I tell you something this morning? The greatest thing that you could do for your family today is be a builder of broken dreams. In a world that is trying to tear us down and rob away what God has placed on the inside of our hearts, men, it's time for you to stand up and fight. It's time for you to stand up and not be a compromiser. It's time for you to stand up and do what's right. Tell your children about the grace of God. Tell your children about the work of God. By all means, be faithful to the house of God. You are fighting not for yourself, but you're fighting for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your own homes. If you don't think the devil can destroy your home, then you've got another thing coming. Stand on the truth of the word of God and fight. Can you say amen? That's what Nehemiah says. He says, claim the encouragement of God's promises in verse 20. Carry somebody else's burden. The nation of Israel had become a team. It wasn't just one guy trying to do all the work. All the men together were on a part of the wall, and everybody was doing their job. They had become a team. They were unified in their commitment. Some were carrying, some were guarding, some were building, some were wearing a sword. And the final word of chapter number 4 tells you and I that they stayed up all night because they got so caught up in the work of the Lord. Look at verse 23. So neither I nor my brethren nor my servants nor the men that guarded, which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that everyone put them off for washing. Meaning we didn't even lay down to sleep. We got so caught up in doing what God had placed on the inside of our heart. There was such an excitement that went about all because of Nehemiah as a leader. He's a builder of broken dreams. He would not let the men lay down on the sword and die. He would not let them give up in a fight. He kept on encouraging. He kept on keeping his eyes upon God and praying. I'm asking you to do this. Be a builder of broken dreams. Let God place on the inside of you exactly what you need for spiritual service. Because there's somebody sitting in this room today, perhaps a person right next to you, in front of you or behind you. Their life's a train wreck. And they're looking for somebody to help them along life's journey. Just perhaps God has placed you in this church, in this community, and in this room for you to be a modern day Nehemiah, to be a builder of broken dreams. Father, we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I know that in a world where there are so many that are hurting, families tore apart, lives tore apart, broken hearts as a result of vicious words. Some people here this morning, Lord, they've come and, Lord, they're looking for some answers. They're looking for some help. God, they're looking for some comfort and some guidance. And I pray, Lord, that you would give us some modern-day Nehemiahs right here at Parkway Baptist Temple. And God, that you would use us and bless us in such a way, Lord, that we could influence the people of God for the glory of Jesus Christ. Lord, it's not about us, it's all about you. And we give you praise and glory for everything that you have done. Everything that's been accomplished, everything that has happened, all the blessings of God within my life, the life of this church. God, we know it's your good hand and your mighty hand. The Father, you have left us here as stewards of it. So help us, God, to be found faithful. Lead us and guide us and direct us by your grace and by your mercy. Lord, to be builders of broken dreams. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. My heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You say, Pastor, I'm here this morning and my life is broken. And I really need some encouragement. That's why I'm here today. I just want you to pray for me. I want you to pray for my family. God bless you. Would there be another? God bless you. Would there be another? God bless you there in the back. God sees your heart. Would there be another? God bless you back there in the back. God bless you. Would there be another? Pastor David, just pray for me. God bless you, sis. God bless you. I see your hand. God bless you. Our hands all over the house. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, Lord, you know the very hearts of my friends that are here. And I pray, God, that you'd bless them and give them what they need. May the words of God and the songs, Lord, that we sing, Lord, our very presence here today, be an encouragement to them. And let the things that we say and do help us, God, to be modern-day Nehemiahs, to rebuild the broken dreams that are shattered and crumbled on the ground. And we will thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. No matter what your need is.